Luke 22, verse number 31 to verse number 34 reads, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to the grave." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." So when you look at the word that is used there, the word that is used is aste. They use the word exaiteomai, which basically means he has made a demand. A demand has been made. Somebody say amen. A demand has been made. A request has been made for you, that he may sift you as wheat. So Father, we want to thank you tonight just for positioning us where we are, for being a God who does not leave us alone, but being a God who brings revelation and understanding to us, that we may see the things that are happening in the Spirit, that we may understand, we may comprehend. Father, in this hour, we know that we are not coming in our own name as we pray, but we are coming in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we say, God, hear our prayer tonight and attend to our supplication. We come not in our own strength, but in the strength of the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ. We come, O God, not empty-handed as kings and priests you made us to be before you. We come by the way of the blood. And we say, O God, as that blood has broken the wall of partition and reconciled us back with you, O God, we can come boldly before the throne of grace to bring our prayer, to bring our petitions, even our requests, O God. And we say tonight, may we find favor in your sight. May you take a kind disposition towards us. Open up our minds, our hearts, and our spirits for us to understand, that your glory shall be revealed in us, no matter what is standing in our way. I pray, O God, for every man, every woman on this prayer line tonight. I pray for the strengthening of their inner man. I pray for the strengthening of their spirit. Bring them to a place where they are closer in relationship with you, or only closer, but may their relationship with you, O God, be strengthened in a greater measure and in a greater way. Holy Spirit, you are welcome as we pray tonight. Take control of everything that we say, lead and guide. And when the hour is said and done, let no man take glory, but let all the glory and all the honor and all the praise be given to our God. And Father, I know that there are many needs that are on this prayer line tonight. I declare, O God, that you are the all-sufficient God. You are able to provide for every need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If anybody needs healing, I declare that you are the healer. If anybody needs supernatural provision, I declare that you are the provider. If anybody needs direction, I declare that you are the shepherd. If anybody needs breakthrough, I declare that you are Baal Perazim, the God of the breakthrough. If anybody needs a change in their lives, I declare that you are the God of change. If anybody needs transformation, I declare that you are the God of transformation. Whatever need is here, O God, tonight, I declare that supernatural provision is going to come. The need for peace is going to be met. The need for joy is going to be met. The need for strength is going to be met. The need for comfort is going to be provided for. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. If you know that your God is going to, God supplies all your needs according to his riches in glory. Now, I read that scripture, Luke chapter number 22, verse number 31 to verse number 34. And I wanted to emphasize the word where it says that, "And Satan has asked for you." Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat.
And Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. Somebody say amen. He said, I have prayed for you. That scripture is very perplexing to our understanding of things in the present day. We never really consider the idea that the God who says is always with us, the God who is always looking out for us, would allow such a thing to happen in the lives of a believer. We know the story of the book of Job, that the Bible says that Satan was walking to and fro. A day came when the sons of men, the sons of God, would present themselves before God, and God asked Satan, where have you been? And Satan said, I've been roaming to and fro. And he said, I've been trying. You know, the Bible says he's a roaring lion. He's looking for those that he might devour. And God said to him, have you considered my servant Job? And the Bible tells us that God said, Satan said, well, I know about Job, but you have a hedge of protection around him. So which means for Satan to make that qualification, he had at some point in time looked at Job, but he could not go in because he saw that there was a hedge of protection that was around him. Which means God had set a perimeter around Job, and Job could not, the devil could not enter in. What's peculiar about that particular verse of scripture in Job is that God asks Satan, have you considered Job? Somebody say amen. Have you considered Job? And you know the story of how everything went in the book of Job throughout all the 40 chapters or so. But in this particular verse of scripture in Luke chapter number 22, what's peculiar is that Jesus said to Peter, there has been a council that has taken place in heaven. And Satan has made a demand. Satan has made a legal dispute in the heavens requiring that ye be given permission to sift you. And Jesus makes it known without wanting really to go into detail but trying to read in between the lines. Jesus makes the admission that Satan has been given permission to sift you. Somebody say amen. He has been given permission to sift you, because Jesus said, you know, it could have been said this way: Satan desired to sift you, but the permission was not granted. Or I prayed for you, I interceded for you, and God did not allow what the devil wanted to do to go through. But Jesus said, but I have prayed that your faith will not fail. Which means Satan has made a legal case in the courts of the heavens, asking for permission to sift you. And whatever legal case, a legal presentation that Satan made in the courts of the heavens agreed that Peter will be sifted. Somebody say amen. He would be sifted. The heavens agreed. And then the Bible says, Jesus said, but you know what? I have prayed for you, not for you not to go through what you have to go through. Somebody say hallelujah. I prayed not for you to go through what you have gone through. You are going to go through, but I prayed that your faith will not fail. I hope somebody hears that tonight. Jesus is saying, there is going to be a trial and a testing in your life. I have not prayed for that trial and the test and that test to be taken out of your life, but I prayed that as you are going through it, your faith will not fail. So the reason why I say it's perplexing is that the easiest route would have been, I've prayed and I've interceded for you that you are not going to go through what the devil had set out for you, but I have prayed that your faith will not fail. That when your faith will not fail, and when you are on the other side, when you've come through the sifting, strengthen your brother. Somebody say hallelujah. So I don't really have time to really work out the whole matter as to what could possibly have been the case that was presented before the courts of heaven with regards to the sifting of Simon Peter. But I want to just bring this into context. Remember, Simon Peter is one of the disciples. Remember, he is the one when Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter is the one who said, you are the Christ, you are the Christos. He is the one, Jesus said, now flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. He is the one who was given the keys. He said, now I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind here on earth shall be bound in heaven. Remember the story? He is the same Simon Peter, the one who walked on the water when Jesus went during the storm, when the winds, bustling storms. He is the one who walked on the water. And you know the story. He took his eyes off Jesus and he almost sank, but Jesus raised him up. He is the same Peter who was lying in the bosom of Christ on the day of the Last Supper. Anybody remember that story? And Jesus is saying to him, listen, Satan has desired to sift you and he has been given permission to sift you, but I have prayed that your faith is not going to fail. So I want to just to make this presentation tonight that some of us, we are not going to be exempt from going through what we must go through, but there is intercession that is being made in the heavens concerning us. And that intercession is not to stop us from going through what we have to go through, but that intercession is being made so that we are able to be sustained, not to break, not to fall apart in the midst of the sifting, but we are going to stand on the other side where we are going to be able to fulfill an assignment that is standing on the other side. The Bible tells us, and Bible clearly lets us know, that all things work together for the good for them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Somebody say amen. That means we know that there are going to be adversities. The Bible also tells us many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver them from them all. That means you are going to go through some afflictions. You are going to go through some trials. You are going to go through some testing. You are going to go through some sifting. But intercession is being made for you that you are not going to break. Intercession is being made for you that the most important thing that you need in the trial and the sifting is your faith. And that your faith is not going to fail. So tonight I want to pray for God to strengthen your faith no matter what you are going through. For God to uphold your faith. That whatever the enemy is doing in your life, it is ultimately going to work together for your good. But in the process, your faith is not going to fail. In the name of Jesus. So no matter what you're going through, we are making the declaration tonight that your faith is not going to fail. Your faith is not going to fail because your faith is not based on what man has told you, but your faith is based on the word that God has revealed himself through to you. That there is a conviction in you that neither height nor depth nor spirit nor principality shall be able to separate you from the love of God. You have made it in your mind, convinced yourself, the Apostle Paul said, beyond any reasonable doubt, beyond a shadow of doubt, without any contradiction, I have made this resolve in my heart that there is a God. Not only that there is a God, but the God that is there is a faithful God. He is a God who never fail me. He is a God who never leave me. So no matter what I am going through, it will not change my standing position with God. The Bible says faith in Hebrews 11 is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. I know that I have faith. I know that there is a hope, but I have. There is an expected end. And notice what Jesus said when he spoke to the Apostle Simon Peter. He said to him, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Within that statement, there is a word of hope that standing at the end of the sifting process, there is an assignment and you are going to overcome the assignment because the Bible did not say if you return to me. It says when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So the reason why the enemy was putting a process of sifting Peter was for him to discourage him from his faith. Because the Bible says, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. So your faith is the most fundamental thing that you should never allow for the enemy to take away from you. And that is the thing that God is guaranteeing in this season of your life. That your faith is not going to fail no matter what you are going through. Because the process that the enemy, the sifting that the enemy is bringing into your life is just to destroy your faith. But the thing that the enemy wants to destroy is the thing that God has prayed concerning you. It's the thing that the one who is interceding, the high priest of your confession in the courts of the heaven, is the thing that he has prayed for. And that thing is not going to fail. Somebody say hallelujah. So in this season, I say, do not be discouraged no matter what you are going through. Keep the faith. Hold on to the faith. Because that faith is what Christ died for. That faith is what Christ has revealed in you. And that faith is going to carry you through the process. And you are going to find yourself standing on the other side. Somebody say hallelujah. I feel that tonight somebody needs to understand that there is a reason why you are going through what you are going through. You have been chosen as a candidate by heaven for a greater blessing, a greater work, a greater level of anointing, a greater ministry. But before you receive that, there is a process of sifting that you have to go through. Because sifting, by definition, is the trying of your faith. Is the trying of your faith. Because it's one thing for us to say we believe, and another thing for us to live out our faith. And the only way that we can live out our faith is through the sifting, is through the trials, is through the struggles, is through the pain. To say, I still believe God. Job said, though you slay me, God help me, Jesus. No matter what my life is going on, whatever is going on in my life, my faith in God is not based on my situation. It's based on the never-changing word of God that says, yes, the heavens are his throne and the earth is his footstool. The word of God that says, I am the sheep of his pasture, he is my shepherd. The word of God that says, I am the planting of the Lord, he has planted me by rivers of living water, that I will not wither, and in my season I will bring forth much fruit. The word of God that says, I have been accepted into the beloved. The word of God that says, he loved me before I loved him, he loved me before I knew him. God went to great length and great things to be able to bring me back into relationship with him. Not just a relationship, but to restore me to a position of sonship. I'm no longer a slave to sin because God has delivered me. That is what my faith is based on. My faith is not based on whether people like me or do not like me. Somebody say hallelujah. My faith is based on the never changing word. That word that he has said even above his name. That word which he said shall never return to him void. That's what my faith is based on. Can I just tell somebody here tonight, if you are waiting for a celebrity to endorse your faith before you can believe, you are living the wrong faith. You are living the wrong gospel. Because my Bible tells me, I don't need a celebrity endorsement for me to know that Christ died for me on the cross of Calvary. Somebody say hallelujah. I don't need somebody in leadership to tell me that God is good, because I've lived my life long enough to know that God is awesome. He's excellent in all his ways, in the name of Jesus. I don't need circumstances to change the way that I feel about God. In fact, I've learned that no matter what I'm going through, it's pushing me closer to God. For his word says, all things work together for the good for them that love him. They are bringing me closer to God. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. You have to realize that they had to go through the season of walking through the wilderness so that they can see that God is able to provide, that God is able to supply all their needs, that there is no other God besides Elohim, there is no other God besides El Shaddai, there is no other God behind besides Jehovah Nissi, there is no other God behold besides Jehovah Giba, there is no other God behind besides Jehovah Mikadesh, there is no other God. So they had to go through the process, they had to go through a process of trial and testing, that they had to get to a place where they were not able to fight, they were fighting against the Amalekites. They had to get get to a place where they realize that there is no other God but Jehovah Nissi. Because when they were in that valley, Moses was raising up his hand and Joshua was prevailing. I'm here to tell you tonight that no matter what you are going through, no matter what sifting you are going through, don't lose your faith. Hold on to your faith. Baby, get into a place where you realize no matter how hard the enemy brings it my way, I am going to pray harder. I am not going to leave my place of prayer, but I'm going to pray harder. I am going to press harder because I know that this is only for a moment. There is an assignment waiting for me from the sifting. I don't care what the reason for the sifting is, but Christ has prayed for my faith to be strengthened. I am going to overcome. I am not going to be overwhelmed. I am going to be an overcomer. The word of God declares that I am above and not beneath. The word of God declares I am a lender and not a borrower. The word of God declares that I'm the head and not the tail. I declare that I may not be that what the word of God has said at this moment, but because God has declared it by his word and I've walked with God for a season in my life, I know that he is faithful through all things in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I am not even going to be in a place of speculating what God is going to do in the end, but I know his word says, according to Ephesians 3:20, and now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that he would ever ask or think. I know that the beginning of a matter cannot be compared to the end, because the end is going to be greater than the beginning. Therefore, I know that my God is going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that he could ever ask or think. Therefore, it doesn't really matter whatever level of sifting is coming into my life. It's because God has ordained that there is greatness coming into my life. I may be struggling in this moment. It's just my season of sifting. But when I am standing on the other side of my sifting, I am going to be able to be a source of strength for my brothers. Somebody say hallelujah. The Bible tells us that when Christ was speaking to Peter, he says to him, "Do you love me?" He says, "Yes." He says, "Strengthen my sheep." He says, "Do you love me?" He says, "Feed my lambs." "Do you love me? Feed my sheep." "Do you love me? Strengthen my lambs." I'm here to tell you, to tell somebody here tonight that he denied Christ three times. The devil was sifting him, trying to bring down his faith. But that faith that the enemy was targeting was the thing that Christ prayed for. I want to let you know here tonight that your trust in God, your belief in God is the thing that Christ is interceding for before the throne of heaven, is the thing that the Holy Spirit is praying for, interceding for you before the throne of heaven. Your faith is not going to fail in this season in the name of Jesus. It's not going to fail. It's not going to fail. It's not going to fail. For you have built your faith not on what man has said, but what God has revealed. What the word of God has revealed. What has been revealed to you not by man. For the kingdom of God does not come by observation. The kingdom of God comes by revelation. You have received a revelation that the Christ, the Christos, is the Son of God. And it has not been revealed to you by flesh and blood, but it has been revealed to you by the Father in heaven. The thing, oh God, help me, Jesus. Somebody has to understand that your faith is not based on your situation. It's not based on your circumstance. Your faith is based on the word that God has revealed to you. John tells us, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and that word was God. He says in 1:14, and that word was made flesh and dwelt among men, and we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. I have to let you know here tonight that Christ is the reason why you have faith. He is the reason that faith was released into your heart to make you pleasing unto God. Go to the book of Hebrews 11. You are going to realize that all the great men of faith elaborated and enumerated in there, they had to go through a trial in their season. They had to go through a shifting in their season. But at the end, they endured and they were able to overcome. Think about David. You were ordained to be a king, but you are going to be able to act like a madman. You people are not going to want to kill you, but God has prayed that your faith is not going to fail. Think about all the judges that they were about to do things that were not in their nature, but God had brought a level of faith in their minds, that in their spirit, that they are not going to fail. So I want somebody to know tonight, I know that you are going through some things, but just hold on to your faith, because your faith is the thing that is being tried. Your faith is the thing that is being tested, but your faith is the only thing that you have to bring you out of the matter that you are going through. That's why the enemy is launching a strategic warfare against your faith. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. The thing that is going to erode your faith, the thing that erodes your faith, is believing the wrong thing about what God has said concerning you. Once you begin to doubt what God has said about you, you are going to give in. You are going to lose your faith. But tonight I hear the Holy Spirit is causing us to be into remembrance that we cannot afford to have our faith failing. And Christ cannot afford to have our faith failing. Therefore, He has made intercession for our faith. Our faith is being strengthened tonight. Our faith is being augmented tonight by the faith of God. Our faith is not going to fail in the name of Jesus. Can I just tell somebody here tonight, you have been praying for your marriage, you have been praying for your family, and you think, God, I'm about to give up, I'm at the wit's end. Yes, you are at the wit's end, but you are at the beginning of the faith that God is about to put in you, the faith that God is about to instill in you. Somebody say hallelujah. You see, your testimony does not begin by saying I did. Your faith, your testimony begins by saying God did. God brought me out. God sustained me. God strengthen me. It doesn't begin by saying I prayed. It's God answered my prayer. It's God heard my prayer. God heard my supplication. That means the Bible says in Hebrews again, he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The point I'm making tonight is, don't let your faith fail, but hold on to that faith, because that faith is the ticket to your deliverance. That faith is the ticket to your salvation. That faith is the ticket to your strengthening. That faith is the ticket to accessing the revelation that God has set at the end of your trial, at the end of your sifting. Somebody say hallelujah. You see, let me just bring you this particular position here tonight. I know that I'm speaking to somebody whose faith has been wavering. Somebody who is about to give up. Don't give up on God, because God has not given up on you. Don't give up on God, because God is saying, if you did ever wonder in your mind if God is concerned about you, that is the reason why he ordained this hour of prayer before the worlds were even formed, that this little boy from Africa will be here telling you that your faith is not going to fail, that your faith has been strengthened. If you did ever doubt if God thinks about you, know this in your spirit. God is thinking about you day and night. That is why he ordained in this hour that you will be on this prayer line. That is why he has been orchestrating things, making sure that we are in covenant relationship for this moment in the name of Jesus, to say that your faith is not going to fail. Don't give up on God. Keep trusting in God and see what God is going to do. Can I just tell you something? The Bible says no weapon formed against you is going to prosper, and God is not going to let that word fail. That word is going to be established in your life, and that word is going to stand no matter what you are going through. Your faith is not going to fail. Kusha bare kopo shoko parandi karabahaya kadala. He said by the prophet Isaiah, my word shall not return to me void. My word shall accomplish. God is saying, my word concerning your faith shall be accomplished. My word concerning your faith is going to prosper. My word concerning your faith is not going to return to me void. Therefore, I declare that in this season, no matter what you are going through, your faith is not going to fail. In the name of Jesus. I feel like I'm praying, I'm preaching, I am doing whatever I'm doing. I'm just following what the Holy Spirit is saying tonight. That somebody needs to understand that their faith, their faith. Their faith is not going to fail. Heaven has made a ruling. Heaven has made a judicial decision that your faith is not going to fail. The Bible says God goes before you to bring down the mountains, raise up the valleys, and make the crooked places straight. God has already gone before you to make sure that through the sifting process, your faith is not going to fail. No matter if the enemy brings you through a valley, God has already raised it up because he's sending a word for you. No matter if he brings you through a mountain, a place of a stronghold, God has already gone before you to bring it down. No matter how unclear the path is forward towards you, God has already made the crooked places straight. You are not going to be overwhelmed. You are not going to be overcome. Your faith is going to stand strong in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And I want to tell somebody here tonight, all the people that you have trusted in this season of your life have disappointed you. They have let you down. Some of them have cut you off in the time of your greatest need. But I want to let you know that the one who made the heavens and the earth, the one who spoke the things into existence, the one who made you in his image and likeness has not given up on you. He has not left you. He declared by his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Day and night I'm thinking about you. David made this assertion, Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, for thou art with me. He is walking with you through it all. He is walking it through. The one who say, somebody has to understand tonight that in the midst of your adversity, God is preparing a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And that place that you are standing, that place where you are sitting, that table that God has prepared before you in the presence of your enemies is to let you know, be at peace. You are not going to be overwhelmed. Oh, shokoro boko da bahanda kere boko shobo orabahaya. In the name of Jesus. I want to let you know the Bible says, blessed is he whose trust is in God. Blessed is he whose hope is in the Lord. Blessed is he whose hope is the Lord. I want to let you know that in this season, the devil knows that the only thing that can derail you is the losing of your faith. And God knows that the only thing that is going to cause you to overcome is the raising up of your faith. Therefore, he has sent a word tonight that says your faith is not going to fail. He has raised up a word tonight to say that there is hope at the end of your sifting. The devil, the Bible says, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. Oh, God help me. Now, if you remember last week when we prayed, last Wednesday when we prayed, there is a word that came through somewhere in the middle of the prayer or towards the end of the prayer. And that particular word was speaking about elasticity. That particular word was speaking about the breaking point. Somebody remember when we said that you are going to be stretched, but your stretching is not going to take you beyond your breaking point where you're going to break. You see, what happened now is I got an opportunity this past Saturday, the previous Saturday, for me to preach on that word, and God revealed some things that were so key and tremendous in that particular scripture. And this evening, after having preached that, this evening the Lord took me to Luke 22 to show me something that the Lord was saying, Simon Peter, listen, the devil has desired to stretch you. The devil has desired to stretch you to bring it to a breaking point where you are going to be shattered and broken and you are going to leave your faith. But Christ said, I pray that your faith is not going to fail. I have prayed that your elasticity is not going to fail. I have prayed. Let me just take it a little bit back for you so I can give you the particular background there. The Bible, scientifically, when they talk about physics, they talk about the stretching, the elasticity, which means if you look at an elastic band, if you look at a material, you stretch it. As long as it's being stretched, that's its elasticity. Somebody say hallelujah. That's its elasticity. It's going to go on to a point. There are two points of significance in the elasticity measure. One point is what is called the breaking point. One point is called the breaking point, and the second point is called the yielding point. So what comes first is the yielding point, and then you have the breaking point. The yielding point, which means when I've reached, when I've been stretched, or it has been stretched towards it to the point where it has reached its yielding point, it cannot go back to what it used to be like. It hasn't broken, but it cannot go back to what it used to be. It is like it is deformed. It cannot go back to what it used to be. That's yielding point. The next point is the breaking point. The breaking point is when you stretch and the thing has reached its yielding point. And when you keep on stretching it, it no longer becomes deformed, but it breaks. Anybody hearing me? So yielding, you are stretched, but you still look like what you used to look like. You don't look like what you used to look like, but you haven't broken. But once you get to your breaking point, you are shattered, you are broken. And Jesus is saying, there is a stretching period that is coming into your life. And that stretching that is coming into your life is to get you to a place where you have a capacity. Somebody hear me. To stretch you to a point where you have the capacity to be able to strengthen your brethren. But I have prayed so that when the enemy comes in and the stretching point takes and the stretching process takes place, you will never reach your breaking point. So I'm here to tell somebody tonight, your situation is working together for your good. The enemy is sifting you. Stretch, you are being stretched to yielding point. But you are not going to reach breaking point because Christ has prayed for the preservation of your faith. Because, oh God, help me, Jesus. Because the thing that determines your breaking point in terms of your spiritual walk is your level of faith. The thing that determines your breaking point in your spiritual walk is your level of faith. The greater your faith, the greater your breaking point is going to be. God help me. So what God is saying and what God has been doing in this season of your life, He has allowed, oh Jesus help me. Let me just backtrack a little bit. God knows everything about you. Anybody hearing me? God knows everything about you. He knows everything about you. That means God knows when you were born. He says before you were even formed, God knew you. So God knows, He says He knows even the hairs on your head. The Bible says in Psalm, He has numbered and fashioned your days. So if God knows so such intricate and intimate details about you, can I just tell you something? God knows your yielding point. God knows your breaking point. How else can the word declare that you are not going to be tempted beyond what you can bear if God does not know what your breaking point is? So He knows what your breaking point is. He knows what your yielding point is. So He's allowing things to happen in your life because He's just stretching you to the yielding point. So I said all that to say this. Your situation is not going to overwhelm you. It's not going to bring you to a breaking point. Oh, can I just tell somebody here tonight? Your testimony needs some haters. Talk with Jesus. Your testimony needs some haters. I don't know who I'm talking to. Because what God is doing is allowing the situation to build a strong testimony in you. Because there are some people that thought they knew you. God help me, Jesus. They thought they knew what it was going to take to break you. You see, let me go back to the book of Job again, because I want to just contrast those two. What happened to Simon Peter and what happened to Job. You see, the enemy knew that he has been granted permission to bring adversity into Job's life. And the enemy decided, let me go and hit Job where it hurts the most, because I know if I do this, he is going to reach his breaking point. So the enemy was orchestrating a well-planned out strategy to bring Job to a breaking point where he's going to give up on God. So he went and took out his posterity, his children, took out his wealth, took out things that were important in Job's life from his perspective. So some of you are going through a season where your finances are being messed around with. You are going through a season where your peace is being messed around with. You are going through a season where your joy is being messed around with. You are going through a season where your sons and your daughters are going through tremendous seasons of adversity and pain. You are going through a season where it seems as if your pockets have holes. Whatever you get, it just leaves just like that. You are losing everything that you thought was important in your life. Or maybe, let me put it this way. You are losing everything that the enemy thinks is important in your life. Because the most important thing in your life is the thing that Jesus prayed for, your faith. Can I just tell somebody here, God is all sufficient. I want to reiterate that again. God is all sufficient. That means I can lose money, but if I have God, nothing compares to God. I can lose material things, but as long as I have God, it's okay with me. Oh, help me, Jesus. Because the enemy thinks what you are losing is going to cause you to lose your faith. But you care more about your relationship with God than about things. The bond you have established with God cannot be broken. It's not based on how much money you have. It's based on how much God is. So now, your friends are cutting you off. It's okay with me. There is one who sticks closer than a brother. and his name is Jesus. They haven't paid you your wages. It's okay with me. There is a God who is a righteous judge. You may not be, you may be in a precarious financial situation, but it's okay with me. There is a God who owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Because I said, your faith is not based on your circumstance and your situation. It's based on the Godness of God. And God will never lose his throne. He will never abdicate his position as God. So in this season, oh God help me. Jesus help me. I can preach myself until kingdom come. The Bible says this. He is the accuser of the brethren. Oh, help me, Jesus. He has been building a dossier of all your faults, of all your shortcomings, of all your misdeeds, of all your misthoughts. Remember the times when you went to a place where you were not supposed to be in? When you did what you knew was wrong that you were not supposed to be doing. He has been writing all those things. And he has got to a place, God help me. He has got to a place where he sees that he has built a watertight case against you. I believe that he had an idea that something was about to happen in Peter's life. So as a preemptive move, anybody hearing me? As a preemptive strike, he launched a petition in the courts of the heavens. To say Peter is not qualified for what you are about to release in his life. Jesus help me. It was a preemptive strike. To say the one that you are about to promote cannot be promoted. That the one that you are about to entrust cannot be trusted. Anybody hearing me? I'm about to finish here. Let me take it to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. It says now, chapter number 2, verse number 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. I'm reading from the New International Version. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken, utterly amazed. They asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is that each of us hear them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pythagoras, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts of Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have heard too much wine.'" Verse number 14. Anybody hearing me now? Verse number 14. "Then Peter," God help me, stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens and the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great day, the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God but to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, and you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of the wicked, put him to death by nailing on the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said of him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. This was the reason why Peter was being sifted. It was a preemptive strike to separate him from his faith. But Jesus said, I have prayed. Let me give you this. In verse number 32, I think, it says, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Now, Peter was going through a season of sifting, but that season was a preemptive strike by the devil. That is why he asked for permission. That is why he demanded to sift Peter, because of what is coming in the future. So, could it be that there was an accusation raised against you in the courts of heaven as a preemptive strike because of what God is about to release in your life? Some of you are going to do great and mighty things, but the devil doesn't want you to get there. So he's putting you through a season of sifting to bring you to a breaking point where you're going to give up on God, or you are just going to check out on life. But if your faith does not fail, you are going to receive what God has said is rightfully yours. You have an assignment that you do not see right now, but the enemy has an idea. That is why you are going through what you are going through. But on the other side, help me, Jesus. On the other side, when you take an elastic band and you stretch it to its yielding point. It's no longer what it used to be. The reason why I'm saying that is I want to emphasize this. If the devil knew, all that God had in mind, he would have left you where you were without sifting you. What do you mean, Perkins? I'm glad you asked. If you did, if you didn't, well, I'm going to give you an answer anyway before you ask. Here's the thing. If you are going to be trusted with much, if you are going to be given charge of much, you must be tried with little. Do you know that statement that they say, no pain, no gain? Because whenever you are doing resistance training, it's going to be painful. Oh, God help me, Jesus. Oh, let me put it this way. Whenever you are lifting 25 pounds, working out 50 pounds, you can work out 50 pounds all your life and never know that you can break that barrier. If you are afraid of the pain. But if you have the capacity to carry 25 pounds, if you start working out on 50, 25 pounds becomes nothing because now you can lift up 50 even though it was painful. So God wants to bring something greater into your life. But you don't have the capacity right now to handle what God wants to bring into your life. So now, the enemy thinks he's going to destroy you, but God is saying it's just enlarging your capacity. But in the process of enlargement, don't lose your faith. Because faith is to know that I am going to be able to lift 50 pounds. Then tomorrow 50 becomes the low threshold because now I'm 100. Now you can be trusted with more. God is building your faith. He is building your capacity in the adversity you are going through. You are not going to capitulate. You are not going to break down. You are not going to reach breaking point. Somebody say hallelujah. So I just came here tonight to let you know that it has been determined by heaven that you must go through what you are going through. I'm going to say it again. It has been determined by heaven that you must go through what you are going through. But it has also been determined by heaven that your faith is not going to fail. So whichever way you look at it, it's a win-win for you. In the name of Jesus. Watch this. Let me just give you one more example and I'm done. You can go study the scriptures. You'll find numerous examples that are there. But I want to just remind you, because we are in the season of Christmas. He laid down his glory in heaven, that he may come down to earth as a defenseless baby born in a manger Anybody hearing me? Born in a manger, knowing that the sole purpose that he was created was to lay down his life on the cross of Calvary. He prayed, "Father, if it be possible, take this cup away from me." But then he said, "Nevertheless, thy will be done." The cross was necessary for the redemption of man. So he had to go through the pain. The lashings of his back, he had to go through the pain because it was deemed necessary by heaven. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. So what am I saying here tonight? I don't care what you're going through. It has been sanctioned by heaven. But you are not going to capitulate. You are not going to break down. Your breaking point has been erased. It's just an exercise enlarging your capacity. In the name of Jesus. So you might as well look forward to the day where those that thought you were going to break are going to hear your testimony and are going to marvel at what God has done. Your financial situation is going to change because there's a turnaround that is on its way. You are going to be managing so much money that you never deemed possible in your life because now your capacity has been enlarged. And here's the thing. Some of you are in ministry and you are wondering, when is my gift going to be operating at its maximum capacity? I can definitively say this to you. After this season of your sifting, you are going to be standing up as the Apostle Peter and make a bold proclamation and declaration that Jesus Christ is Lord. Without any fear, explaining a mystery that has dumbfounded multiple nations. You are not going to die in the midst of your sifting. God told Lucifer, Satan, you can do whatever you need to do on Job, but do not take his life. You are not going to die. And you are not alone. His hand is guiding you and leading you. Now, in conclusion, I'm going to read that verse again. In conclusion, somebody say amen. In conclusion, Luke chapter number 22, verse number 31. Verse number 34. Luke 22. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon," I'm reading from the New King James Version. "Simon, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked." If you look in the Greek word there for the word asked, is the word he has demanded. He has demanded for you, which is, it's actually a legal term for making a demand in the courts of the heaven. He has demanded that he may sift you. And that word sift, one of the definitions is an agitation to try one's faith to the verge of overthrow. So he has desired to what? To agitate and inward agitation to try one's faith to the verge of overthrow. So he has desired to try you inwardly, because faith is an inward thing. to try you, to shake you to the verge of breaking, to the verge of overthrow, where you are going to give up. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when, I want just, if you could underline in your Bible, if you can, just that word, and when you have returned. He didn't say he is going to sift you, and if you return, he says, and when you have returned to me. I'm going to say it again. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So what am I saying? Your faith is going to be shaken. Now remember, if you read the other verses, if you have got time, you can go read other verses where Peter denied Jesus three times. He was being sifted. You can find that in John 21, verse number 15 to verse number 19. 21, verse number 15 to 19. And find them. But it says, and when you have returned, so what am I saying? You are not going to fail. Your faith is going to fail. You are going to return to your faith. And there is an assignment that is waiting for you at the end of your adversity, at the end of your trial, in the name of Jesus. So as I say this, it is necessary for you to go through what you're going through. The enemy wants to sift you. He wants to overthrow your faith. But the very thing that the enemy wants to overthrow, your Lord has prayed for you. Your faith is not going to fail. It may experience some highs and lows, but it's not going to fail. So now, Lord, we are here at the end of another season. At the end of another season, God, that you have allowed us to see. And because we are in this season, God, we know that we are being preserved not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. As we stand, O God, tonight, we declare that you have blessed us in all things. We may not see it, we may not feel like it, but we believe that you have blessed us in all things. Okay? Now, I did say that whenever I conclude, I have to do this. I'm going to read for you number 6 again. Number 6, verse number 24 to verse number 27. Number 6, 24 to 27. So verse number 24 to verse number 27. Number 6. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I'm going to read it again. As you are going through your sifting, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you, and may he be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus. Let me read this one for you and I'll let you go. Psalm 115, verse number 12 to verse number 15. Psalm 115, verse number 12 to verse number 15. The Lord has been merciful to us. He has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. Somebody say amen. You are blessed of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. God bless you. We love you. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. For those of you that do not know me, the name is